Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It would be more compelling if the Lakers were part of the playoffs. They're not. Instead, we have the Clippers, which does rope in Staples Center and Los Angeles. And we'll see whether or not the Clippers can make some noise against the Golden State Warriors, the defending champs, who to me look like they're on the ropes. Well, that may be strong. They look like they are vulnerable. I feel more comfortable with that statement. We now know the NBA playoff schedule. It's set for Saturday and Sunday with all eight series tipping off with their openers on one day or the other. So we'll review that for you coming up. Some of these series have all kinds of juice to them, but really big picture, it's exciting to think about the Eastern Conference being wide open. Milwaukee, Toronto, Philadelphia, which may have to start without Joel Embiid, Boston, which may have to start with without one of its starters, so we'll get into that coming up. Indiana, of course, who's missing Victor Oladipo, the Nets back in the playoffs, the Magic, and the Pistons with Dwayne Casey. The only thing I could have asked for that would have been better is if it was Toronto and Detroit in the opening round. That would be fantastic. But good for Dwayne Casey in getting his Pistons back to the playoffs in his first year as the head coach. In the West, we've got Golden State against the Clippers. We just talked about with Michael Duarte, ABC LA. Denver and San Antonio. The Spurs were hosting the Mavericks on the final night of Dirk Nowitzki's career. And so we will let you hear from him. My favorite post-game question for him was about what he plans to do next. And he answered the question, I think, less nostalgia, more keeping it real. But that's Dirk. The Trail Blazers end up with the number 3 seed. Will it be different for the Blazers this season, taking on the Thunder in the opening round? So a lot of star power in the two backcourts there. And then finally, the Houston Rockets, who fade to the 4 seed, though they do have the home court advantage in the opening round against the Utah Jazz. The NBA playoff schedule plus the first night of the Stanley Cup postseason. Lots to talk about. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We also have the start of the Masters hours from now. And so the Par 3 competition was taking place on Wednesday. It's always a lot of fun to see your favorite golfers with their family members. Maybe it's a wife, maybe it's a girlfriend, maybe it's a son or a daughter. Sometimes even in the past, you've had grandkids who've been caddies for these Par 3 competitions. Well, it's a lot of fun to see the atmosphere there. And I know there was rain, a lot of rain that was in the forecast. But Matt Wallace ends up as the winner. There's a trophy for the Par 3 contest. Wallace and 61-year-old Sandy Lyle. Well, that's a name that you haven't heard in a long time. Goes back to the 80s since he was the champion at Augusta National, but also hasn't made the cut in a handful of years. However, if you need a Masters nerd alert, no winner of the Par 3 competition has ever won the Masters the same year. And so tomorrow they get down to the nitty gritty. And we will preview the Masters of the Augusta National with our friend Matt Adams, who is formerly of the Golf Channel and also Sirius XM PGA Tour Radio. He's a guy that I met when I worked in Rhode Island. He was the general manager of a golf course in Newport then. And we crossed paths and he turned into a golf media star. So he's awesome. And Matt will join us. He usually does before each of the golf majors that'll happen in our final hour here on CBS Sports Radio. We're inside the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. So have you heard what Michael Duarte had to say as we were heading up to the top of the hour? We were a little crunched for time there, but his source is telling him that there was some friction between Magic Johnson and Rob Pelinka. Now, Rob is staying on as general manager, at least for now. That's what we're hearing out of Los Angeles. That the agent turned GM is not losing his post, stepping away from his post. No, instead, he's going to stay and maybe be the guy, along with Jeannie Buss, of course, but maybe be the guy who's making the basketball decisions in the offseason. Especially if Buss doesn't replace Magic Johnson and doesn't hire a new president of basketball operations right away. Well, then you're talking about Pelinka and Buss being the brain trust in charge of the decisions that they make. Still waiting on any potential Luke Walton decision, but I had to wonder. I did think about this on Wednesday. As much as Walton was busy getting ready for their regular season finale when the news about Magic Johnson broke, there's no way he didn't know that Johnson wanted to fire him. There's no way he didn't know that Magic wasn't his biggest fan, as the head coach anyway. And yet now he survived the day after, and he knows Jeannie Buss is someone who's in his corner. So do you think he's feeling like he just used his nine lives? Magic Johnson steps down abruptly. May have saved Luke Walton's job. LeBron James wasn't in Los Angeles. He was in Brooklyn for Dwayne Wade's final game on Wednesday night. And so he was not around for the exit interviews, for any of the goodbyes. No doubt he'll be involved in the offseason planning. In fact, it was a Saturday night meeting with he and Rich Paul, his business partner, Magic, and Pelinka. It was a dinner meeting on Saturday that made no mention of Magic's pending move. And according to Magic, he didn't make his decision until Tuesday morning. So LeBron knew nothing about it, but apparently didn't want to talk about it either. Instead, he wanted to support his BFF in his final game as a member of the NBA fraternity.
Dwayne Wade. Right side, Wade. UD, will it be UD?
Got it! Oh, how about that? The old teammates team up for a triple-double. UD hits it, Dwayne Wade assists, and his fifth career triple-double, Dwayne Wade.
Only his fifth career triple-double. Now, I know his teammates were feeding him, they were setting him up, they were attempting to get him that triple-double, but that's pretty impressive. Like the way Kobe Bryant went out, you would have thought that 30 points in 34 minutes in Miami on Tuesday night would have been his swan song. But no, with Melo, with CP3, with LeBron in attendance, and Brooklyn cheering for him. I mean, the Nets were already in the playoffs. Heat were already out. But Wade starts. Haslam, same thing. The two of them are the only starters in double figures. Haslam has double-double, and then D-Wade ends up with 25 points, 11 rebounds, 10 assists. And the place went crazy. You would have thought they were in Miami. The place went crazy when Haslam hit that last shot that gave Wade the assist he needed to make it a triple-double. Mike Inglis on the Heat Radio Network. And we got to be... well, not quite voyeurs, I guess, for radio. It's not we get to be flies on the wall for Dwayne Wade's final locker room speech.
A lot of this has been about me, man, but I appreciate you guys. This is not easy. You guys definitely made me feel like I deserved everything. Y'all made it about me, but I'm a team player. You know, that's the reason that I'm able to get the ovation, because of the team success, man. So getting that triple double tonight that you guys wanted me to get. You be hitting the shot. It was I'm gonna miss being on the court with you guys. I love y'all, bro. Keep it going. Keep it going for me, man. Family on three. We on family, baby. We family. Family on three. One, two, three.
Cool. Really cool. So thank you to Dwayne Wade. Just the entire landscape of the NBA changed when he and LeBron and Chris Bosh chose to play together in Miami. Just seems like a total shift in the association. And obviously it opened up the floodgates when it comes to superstars specifically deciding where they want to play and who they want to play with and putting together a core of stars. But even before that, Wade was the light there in South Florida, having won a title with Shaq, going back to, was it 06? And even though he took a quick sojourn through Chicago and then Cleveland, this was a fitting end. And now we'll find out what he does with all those jerseys. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Also, Dirk Nowitzki's final game, not in Dallas, but he was on the road in San Antonio. And I actually heard from a couple of you on social media who said you were headed to the game to see the final minutes of his famed career.
The fans roaring here in San Antonio. They want Dirk to get one more shot. Finney Smith will get it to Dirk against Eubanks. Isolation, middle of the floor, rise and fire, and yes, indeed. How about that, Dirk? Take that with you. Devin Harris takes the foul, and now Justin Jackson will come in the game, and that is the way to end a career. What a scene here in San Antonio as everybody comes to their feet. As Dirk will sit down with 20 points and 10 rebounds, he'll end with 31,560 points in an incomparable career.
What are you going to be doing tomorrow, man?
Well, we got exit interviews. Then I got a little German house thing where I got more interviews. And then I'm going to let go. My family's here for a couple more days, friends from all over the world. I'm going to enjoy that. And it'll probably start slowing down by next week. You know, get up in the morning, take the kids to school, pick them up. In between, a lot of laying around and just letting go a little bit.
Thank you for everything, man. It's been incredible.
Appreciate it. Thank you, sir.
Boom. There he goes, Dirk.
We need the credit for that. I saw it on NBA Twitter, but I don't know exactly the TV network that interview is with. So just another neat moment for Dirk Nowitzki and for Dwayne Wade to go on the road and to finish up their careers the way they did. The only change that I would make is that they could go out in the postseason, but they were certainly celebrated royally as they should be. And next we'll see them not just getting their numbers retired or, you know, special ceremonies to be honored in their arenas respectively, but also you would think, I can't imagine why it wouldn't happen, that they'll both be honored in the Hall of Fame together when they first get inducted. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Some of you weighing in with your team slash sports that you think provide the best home court, home ice, home field advantage. But I think I'm mostly looking for, is there a sport in which it doesn't matter? Now, it's definitely specific to stadiums and arenas if you have fans who own it. Right, so if you believe it doesn't matter in the NBA, well, you can't. Oracle's the outlier. The Golden State Warriors are the outlier. If you believe it doesn't matter in the NHL, well, certainly there are places where the home ice does matter. Gosh, just the way the Islanders and their fans were tuned up, it was kind of cool to hear and to see that atmosphere inside Nassau Coliseum. Now, it had been since 1988 that they'd started the playoffs in their Coliseum, but pretty awesome to see there too. Same thing with the SAP Center in San Jose. So you do have the outliers, but does it matter more in the NBA than it does in the NHL to have the home court, home ice? What about the NFL? Major League Baseball, does it matter there? Stats are one thing. but also the tenor of the playoffs. So you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and then our Facebook page, too. Always good to talk to you. We'll get to your calls coming up. 855-212-4227. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Flipped it ahead for Matt Barzal. 2-on-1 with Everline in the Penguins' own left circle. Barzal all alone in front. Deeks shoots and scores! The Islanders win it in overtime! Josh Bailey knocked it in! And New York wins it! 4-3 to take game one! They are mobbing Bailey in the Penguin zone as the Islanders have their first playoff win at the Coliseum in nearly 4 years!
It was amazing. As always, it's special. I don't understand how they can scream for that long, but good for them. Good for them.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
I love that. I don't understand how they can scream for that long. That's Robin Lehner, who had 41 saves for the New York Islanders, and Chris King with the call of the game-winning goal in overtime. The only sudden death we got on the first night of the Stanley Cup playoffs, but it was worth the wait. Josh Bailey hit the post in the final seconds of regulation, then comes back to get that game winner in sudden death about 4.5 minutes in. And it was just, it was amazing to see the push and the pull in this game, because the Islanders never trailed, but they had to go ahead four times. So the Penguins never led, but they kept forcing a tie. And so the Islanders had a lot of work to do in winning that game. And in fact, the Penguins had tied it with 90 seconds left in regulation. And you could really see the patience and the experience as they were working the puck around those final couple minutes. No panic at all for them. A team that's got a lot of guys who've played deep into postseasons and, of course, have been part of Stanley Cup championships. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. I'd say the Nassau Coliseum, or the Barn, as they call it. I love that nickname. They've got a real reason to be hyped up and to appreciate the opportunity to spur on the Islanders. Is there a place where home court, home ice, home field doesn't matter in the playoffs? You always have outlier fan bases who make sure it matters. But I think in the nature of hockey is that you can overcome the home ice. Now, is it an advantage? Yes. But is it insurmountable? No. Because of the lower scoring affair, just the nature of the game. Though, man, it's amazing to hear the fans when they get the chance to host. Game two, Friday night, back at the Nassau Coliseum between the Penguins and the Islanders. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line, brought to you by GEICO, with a quick way you can save money. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes you could save 15% or more on your car insurance. Could you imagine if I started touting 50% or more? That would be awesome of me. By the way, the Dirk Nowitzki interview was on Fox Sports Southwest. So I appreciate Chris looking that up, and also a bunch of you tweeting me from the Dallas-Fort Worth Metro. Gerald is in Houston. Welcome to After Hours.
Welcome. Always happy to speak with you. Always.
Thank you.
It's always a pleasure. Let me start off with hockey. I grew up in Detroit. Mm-hmm. Watched Gordie Howe at the Olympia Stadium, my state, maybe three blocks away. And when you play on the road, when you're young, it doesn't really matter. You know, you just doing what you do. But as you get older, you realize how hard it is to make the playoffs. And when you are appreciative, because when you play at home, fans let you know how much they enjoy it. And you sleep in your bed, you have a routine, and it's easier for you. And so I believe, because I saw the Red Wings play in the old Olympia Stadium, and it used to be packed when the playoffs started. And so it's a pleasure, because everyone doesn't make the playoffs. The second thing I want to discuss is this Magic Johnson situation. When Magic Johnson became the general manager, not the general manager, whatever he was with the Lakers, he became management. And I think Magic failed to realize that the two people who were working with Miss Bush, because Magic was close to the father, not necessarily the daughter. He was real good with the father. And so what happens they're close to her. They in her ear. They speaking to her. Magic is at the NCAA tournament games. He's traveling around having a good time. But you management. You certain things you cannot do. And Magic came back, and it was a management ploy. He was that's the way they do it in corporate America. You're not there. The other people come around, get in people's ear. And that's it. The second thing is LeBron James. I don't know why Magic went and got LeBron James.
You don't know why?
Miss Lawrence, LeBron James is 31, 32, however old he is. You're playing with 18 and 19-year-olds, Miss Lawrence. That would be like you bringing a middle school class to your studio. The middle school class going to look at you and say, you too old. We need to be doing this.
Okay. First of all, Rajon Rondo and Tyson Chandler and Lance Stevenson, they brought in a bunch of free agents as well. They're not all... there are no 18-year-olds, but they're not all super young. I get that there are a couple of them, but Lonzo Ball spent a good portion of the season being injured. Brandon Ingram spent a good portion of the season being injured. They ended up having to rely on these veterans more than you might think.
But those were middle of the pack veterans. Lance Stevenson was run out of Indiana. He shows you think he's real good, but he's not as good as he claims to be. Rondo is always a head case. And so they brought these people in. So now you have LeBron James, who believes he doesn't need a coach, and he believes that he is the Laker organization. Remember, they kept on with Kobe Bryant 2 years too long. You remember, it's an old saying in sports, and you heard this, it's better to trade somebody a year too early than a year too late. And I think when he went and got Magic, when he went and got LeBron, Magic thought that LeBron was going to just be this miracle worker, and it didn't happen. And the Lakers organization should start over and get the right draft people and build their team without trying to go out and get these superstar free agents, especially when you're in your 30s. And you didn't address that, Ms. Lawrence. LeBron James is in his 30s.
We all know he's in his 30s. Nobody thinks he's in his 20s. He's 34 years old, but that's not happening. He's got 2 years left, and he signed a guaranteed contract, so the whole thing with no opt-out. So the whole thing, unless he plans to retire sometime in the next couple of years, they're gonna have him. And I don't think that was an exorbitant contract. We're not talking about 6 or 7 years until he's 40 years old. He still has a lot of life in him. He's still a guy that can easily go out there and take over a game. He's in really good shape. He's notorious for the work ethic. And he is an attractive piece for some free agents. I'm not saying for all. We know Kevin Durant wouldn't want to play with him. But he's still an attractive teammate for guys who have never won a title, who are interested in doing it. Not to mention, you don't have to sell Los Angeles. It sells itself. The city and all the allure and the excitement. So I don't think I agree with you. I get what you're saying. He's old, but he's not breaking down. He had an injury earlier in this year, but for the most part, he's still out there all the time and can still take over games.
Ms. Lawrence, I can see that, and I respect your opinion very, very well. Believe me, I do. I listen to you every evening.
Thank you.
Very sharp young lady. It's just that when you are 34 or 35 years old, you have to have a... You remember when Magic Johnson first came in the league? Kareem took a step back and allowed Magic to run the team. LeBron James is going to have to realize he's going to have to depend on other players to step up. Unless you're willing to do that and become a piece and not the focal point, it's just not going to work.
Right, well, that may have nothing to do with his age. It may just have to do with who he is and who the Lakers put around him. And I think they have a lot of good young pieces. They were devastated by injuries this year. They have a lot of good young pieces. The trade debacle with Anthony Davis messed them up for a bit, but they were right there contending for a playoff spot until the last month or so. Gerald, I appreciate what you're saying. They definitely do have some work to do in terms of their roster, and a lot of those guys are free agents, so it can look very different. Thank you for your phone call. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. I don't quite understand his analogy of me bringing in a middle school class. I would not allow middle schoolers to help me host my show, so it's definitely not the same thing. But I disagree about the LeBron effect think if you're a young player in the NBA, you want to be able to say you played with LeBron James. Now, it may not be everything you think it is, but certainly if the Lakers are a contending team, again, Los Angeles sells itself, and you get to say that you played alongside one of the greatest players of all time. It's not forever. He's got two more years on that deal. Maybe that'll be the end. Maybe it won't. But he's obviously still in great shape and is still one of the best players in the league. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and then also on our Facebook page. Coming up next, we'll talk about the Masters. Tiger Woods, Phil Mickelson, Rory McIlroy. Looking forward to the opening rounds at Augusta National. It's, it's here. Yay, it's April. Yay, it's spring. In many places, although did you see all the snow they had in the upper Midwest on Wednesday? Oh my gosh. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Do you recognize the music? You should. It's a tradition unlike any other. And the world's best will vie for the coveted green jacket. I feel like I'm ruining the music by talking. Don't miss highlights coming up on Thursday and Friday, and then full coverage on Saturday and Sunday. It's a tradition unlike any other. We're so pleased. The Masters on CBS. It's one of the reasons why I'm proud to work for this company. Oh, same thing with the NCAA tournament in March Madness. It works. It works when you get to be part of the company pride this time of the year. Just happens to be some huge events in the springtime. And so the Masters starts full force coming up on Thursday. And I know there are a lot of people that are looking forward to golf's first major of the year. I read this really interesting link on ESPN.com pitching questions to a bunch of different golf analysts, and they come from a variety of places, former caddy, la 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 la, former golf pros, everything else. And there were some fun questions about what Tiger Woods will look like. Will he play around for the weekend? Will he be in contention? Which player outside of the top 25 could end up winning the green jacket? Which, I didn't realize this, Jordan Spieth has fallen to 33rd in the world. He's really struggled, especially when it comes to the putting, which has also been something that's gotten Tiger. Even going back to last year when he finally won again, his putter was erratic at best. And then also the golfer over the age of 45 who could end up winning a green jacket, or at least being a contender. And this is always fun. Guys like Fred Couples, you know, favorites there at Augusta National. But it's always neat to see an older player kind of take the major by storm, even if he doesn't win it. But how much it brings out the sentimental side of the golf fan to, because you know that the older golfers don't generally hit it as far. In fact, when I used to play golf all the time, gosh, I haven't played in a while. I need some people to play with. But when I used to play all the time, every now and then I would play with an older gentleman who was on the staff at my previous network. And we called his brand, not to his face, of course, because we didn't want him to think we were calling him old, but we called his brand of golf Old Man Golf because it's steady and it's straight. It may not be long, it may not be powerful, but it's straight off the tee and it's steady. So it's boring. I myself prefer to use every part of every hole. But that's the type of golf that you'll very often get from a guy like a Fred Couples. But Phil Mickelson is 48 years old. Phil is in this category now. In fact, he's not that far away from turning 49. And here he is in pursuit of his fourth green jacket. So, of course, he's got three already and some amazing memories he's given golf fans at Augusta National.
It's so fun for me to come back to this special place and reminisce and think about those special victories. But the 04 Masters was one of the greatest moments of my career, and the excitement of winning, as well as the having the pressure put off for finally win a major, felt great. And I look back and relive that jump and relive that moment. It was just a special, special time.
Oh gosh, it was special for anybody who loves golf or followed Phil Mickelson, such a sentimental favorite. There was a Sports Illustrated cover of him making that jump, that spread eagle jump after he won finally. And so now at 48 years old, he's looking for his fourth green jacket. And you may know this about Phil, but he's one of 16 players in golf history to win at least three of the four majors. So much is made of him trying to grab the U.S. Open championship, which would give him the grand slam, so to speak. The golf slam. But I think at the Masters, it's special because we had to wait so long to see him win. He had to wait so long. And then to now be looking at a potential fourth at his age is, I still say he's one of the big favorites out there. And having walked the course at the U.S. Open last year on Saturday, moving day, and moving with the galleries, massive galleries, for his front nine on Saturday, I mean, it's otherworldly. I've walked with the galleries to follow Tiger Woods, not at a major, but at lesser tournaments, and that's pretty insane. It's like wall-to-wall bodies, and you can barely get through anywhere. It's no different for Phil Mickelson, and especially him being the big star last year at the U.S. Open. And I'm excited to see what he'll do at the Masters. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Tiger, of course, starting his second full year of being healthy. He won last season. Can he finally break through and win another major? So in pursuit still of his 15th major win, it's been what, since 2008, right? The 2008 U.S. Open. So now we're going into the 11th year since Tiger won one of golf's big events.
For me to have gotten in the winner's circle after the years I've had past few years was, I didn't really understand. I didn't really know if I'd ever get there again. And lo and behold, I got there again. So to me, I'm still working on it, still trying to get better. I'm still trying to win more events. But I think that winning at East Lake confirmed to me that I can still win again.
It was really cool to see him come all the way back last year and cap it with a victory. But obviously, he's been in pursuit of that 15th major win for more than a decade now. He's got four green jackets. And I will never forget was it 97, the year that he went nutso on the field? Shoot, I don't remember the exact year. Remember his 20-shot win at the Masters? Whatever that was. It was kind of his coronation, and the stage was set for what we saw after that. And now at 43 years old, he's gone through so many back surgeries, but he still is the guy that will attract eyeballs of non-golf fans. I don't even need to ask you if he's the biggest draw. Now, there are fans out there who get tired of hearing about him, to be sure. But you're still going to get way more of Tiger Woods than you are of anyone else as long as he is out there on the course.
I tried to activate my glutes as best I could.
As long as we don't have to hear about the glutes. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Let's talk to Andrew, who's in Maryland. Andrew, welcome.
Hey, Amy. I love this show.
Thanks.
So I'm not an avid golf fan, but I love the golf sweat. And at Jordan Spieth at 16-1, I mean, how could you not just throw $50 on it? Like, it's amazing. I love the Masters for that.
For the fact that he's an underdog?
Yeah. I mean, granted, he blew it, clearly, right? A couple years ago, terrible. But 16 to 1?
Well, that's not why. I mean, that's not why. I understand what you're saying. Yeah, it's crazy that he's ranked 33rd in the world. And you would think of the guys who have experience, who have a game that would fit Augusta National, he does. But he has struggled mightily going back to that second year, as you point out, in which he was unable to close out his second green jacket. He's really struggled, though. I mean, you'll see flashes of Spieth now and then, but his putting is blech.
I love it. I love your analysis. Thank you so much.
My analysis of Jordan Spieth's putting. Thank you, Andrew. I appreciate it. That was very technical analysis. I don't have any idea what the odds are, but I do remember the age-old question. Tiger Woods or the field? And I don't know who else you could say that about. Maybe Dustin Johnson? Can Dustin Johnson win a green jacket? I mean, one of the things I love about golf is that you very often have first-time winners, and the fields are so wide open. It's about who gets hot the right weekend, who can navigate the nerves, who can navigate the course. And I don't know why anybody would ever bet on golf, because the fields are so wide open, and you'll see guys who are the best of the best not even make the cut, because that's just the ebb and flow of golf. Rory McIlroy is kind of a popular guy right now to maybe win his first Masters. Justin Rose, Justin Thomas, a Ricky Fowler. These are all big names. But the Masters tends to give you knocking knees. It's just Amen Corner, the azaleas, the tradition, the ghosts of winners past. I mean, it's, yeah. I've talked to golfers and of course, people who cover the sport. If you win no other major, this is the one that they want. It changes your entire career. It catapults you to a completely different space. You can win other majors, and it would be great to win a U.S. Open, to win the Open Championship, which, of course, has the kind of tradition that we don't even have in the United States. But the Masters changes the entire trajectory of your career. It's like winning Daytona in NASCAR. That makes sense for those of you who are NASCAR fans. If you never win another race, that's the one that you want to win. So you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. I don't know if the whole Tiger Woods of the field thing even works. And who else would you take over the field? I missed that question, though. It was always coming up around the majors. We're halfway through our show. Thanks for joining us. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.